Through the preaching of your word, casting out demons, healing the sick, imparting eternal life, the Holy Spirit. Thank you for lifting the saints to higher ground. Thank you for giving deliverance to your people. Thank you for exposing Satan and his kingdom. Thank you for Jesus being lifted up in our midst. As he said, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. Thank you for drawing your people to yourself. For we know that all that you have promised to do when your people are gathered together in your name, according to your word, cannot fail. That's our joy, that's our consolation, that's the confidence that we have. And we have been sustained by this same reality, that you are the unchanging God who is faithful to his promises. We have gathered not unto man this evening. In fact, what has brought us to stay behind to be in the service this evening is because we know that you are faithful to your promises. And that our coming to your house will not be in vain. We know we will go back better. Lord, in addition to what you did for us in the morning, we bless you, we appreciate you. We commit ourselves to you for this short service, that you will do something for us. You give us understanding once again, Lord, that we can be lifted up spiritually above the plane that we knew before. Thank you, Father. All the glory will be yours. Be lifted up in our midst once again, Lord Jesus, so that the workings of the devil, his activities will be paralyzed, as you have promised in your word. Thank you, Almighty Father. Blessed be your name. Filled with the Holy Spirit, still take the saints to higher ground. Send healing virtue to your people. Increase our faith to draw the blessings that you have in your word, that you have promised us for healing his children's bread. Thank you, everlasting Father. We bless and honor you. At the end of the service, your name alone will be glorified and blessings will be ours. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Praise be to God. We welcome ourselves to evening service as we open our Bible to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. We will read from verse 13 to 15. Then you will sit down. Then I will read Genesis 22. Hebrews chapter 6 from verse 13 to 15. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. You can please be seated. Genesis 22, verse 15 to 17. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, by myself have I sworn, said the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Ah, praise be to God. We are grateful to God for the blessings that we receive in the morning service. We trust the Lord once again to send his blessings upon us. We'll be looking at he swore by himself. That's the title of the sermon. He swore by himself.
It is God that swore. It's not man that swore. Well, to pick it from somewhere here so that we can... The prophet tried to... The prophet preached a sermon, the unpardonable sin, before he preached the sermon. So he was reflecting his thoughts about what the unpardonable sin is, you know. Like, this is the manner of every minister, we will review. Because the thought was still fresh on his mind. From the chapter 6 of Hebrews that we read, that is where the prophet was making reference to, that there he was talking about, you know, unpardonable sin. He read some scripture there. But really, that is not our target, but being that it's in the sermon that we is on our hand, I just reflect from paragraph 71. He swore by himself. The sixth chapter is speaking now about the unpardonable sin. It is the same sixth chapter that is also speaking about he swore by himself. So, we went through all that the other day. We started on the sixth chapter, but we got on the unpardonable sin. How many in here knows what the unpardonable sin is now? Sure. It means to reject gospel truth. Is that right? He that sins willfully, after he had received the knowledge of the truth, there remained no more sacrifice for sin. When the gospel is laid out to you plainly, says the scripture, and you see it, and for the sake that you want to be different or agree with this group that you willfully turn away, you have blasphemed the Holy Ghost and can never be forgiven in this world or the world to come. That's right. They knew that he was the Son of God. They knew he was. Nicodemus expressed it. He said, why? Sure, we know you are a teacher that comes from God. He said, because they say he has a devil. You know? When? Because he could stand there and foretell them. Because he could look into the audience and tell them what they were thinking about on their mind. And could heal the sick and so forth. Pray for them. And results come. You see, they say, that's the devil. And he said, now wait a minute. You will be forgiven for that. Because you are speaking against me. That was the Lord Jesus saying that. But when the Holy Ghost is come, don't you say such a remark as that. For remember, the Holy Ghost will warn you in your heart. There is no way for it to do it now, because the blood cell that I am wrapped in isn't broken yet. That was before Jesus Christ was crucified. That was why he said that you'll be forgiven now. But when the Holy Ghost comes, such blasphemy will not be forgiven. So the prophet is trying to tell us, you know, what Jesus means by that. He said there is no way for it to do it now. He said because the blood said that I am wrapped in isn't broken yet. But one day, a spear will open up this side, according to the scripture. You see? And the blood said will be exposed then, and out will come my life, which is the Holy Ghost, and enter into the Father, and will return back in the form of deity and power. Then the blood cell will be there, and the Holy Spirit will deal with every human heart, everywhere. Then if you willfully reject the truth when it is presented to you, there is never forgiveness in this world or the world to come. See? Better walk careful. There you are. See? For whosoever sins or disbelieves willfully, after he has received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a fearful looking for the judgment, the fear indignation which shall devour the adversary. He that despised the shadow under Moses' law, died without mercy, under two or three witnesses. How much more sore punishment thought he worthy preacher, whatever he may be, who has trod the blood of Jesus under his feet, canted the covenant wherewith he was sanctified with, remember, a sanctified person, on holy thing, and done despite to the works of grace. See, there is nothing left for him but a fear indignation, and it will devour the adversary. When you see a gospel truth and walk right over it just to be popular or to go to your own church or have your own way about it, brother, you are doing something there that you are finished. That's not my word now. I would like to make it something different. But that is what God's word says about it now. And he's dealing with that. Praise be to God. At the summary of unpardonable sin, as Abraham presented there, he brought his thoughts from that place. When the truth is presented, the message of the hour is the truth of God for today. That is the truth of God for today. The present, like Bro Peter called it, the present truth. There is no truth elsewhere that can bring transformation to a man's life. It's not any other place. That is why God has to do the work of restoration, sending the messenger to bring the message. I believe that we are well informed about that. Are we not? We are adequately informed. We are well informed about the messenger and the message that he has brought and what the message is to do. Praise be to God. Like I was saying in the morning, if anybody has a doubt about the message of the hour, don't relent. Meet the pastor so that he can join you in prayer. It's a dangerous ground to be doubting the truth of God. It's a dangerous ground. And as it is written here, when you are doing every aspect of our lives, the word of God is not silent. As we had in the morning, the word of God is not silent. We are not to live our lives by our own idea, by our own opinion, by our own understanding, or by somebody else's suggestion that is contrary to what has been revealed by the messenger of the age. That is contrary to the revealed word, the message of the hour. And that will fall, such a person will fall under Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that will not walk in the way of the ungodly, or walk in the counsel of the ungodly. To listen to unbeliever, to listen to anybody giving advice contrary to the message of the hour, just like the pastor said, you are walking towards the downward path. Because the opinion of man is not God's word. The opinion of man, the idea of man, the view of man does not have life. It is dead if it is taken to be God's word. And that is why the prophet told us that until a man is filled with the Holy Spirit, he will argue with the world. And that is, as long as the man keeps arguing with the world, he does not recognize that he has to surrender. He can't be filled with the Holy Spirit because he will be disagreeing with God. When the word of God says this and you say, no, it's not like that, it should be like this. Who says it should be like this? When the word of God says it should be this way, then it means that you are using some understanding, and we have been commanded not to lean onto our own understanding. Your understanding is not good. It's not good. And understanding, in that sermon, lean onto your understanding, sources of understanding. We have gathered understanding from school. We gather from traditional system. We gather from relating with people from social system. You have an understanding of how things should be. But the prophet said that with all the understanding that we get, when that understanding is contrary to God's word, the prophet said, forget about it. Take what the word of God says, because that is the only thing that can stand. That is the only thing that the devil cannot withstand. Look at those number of, you know, the personalities the pastor was listing in the morning, where they were men of understanding, of great achievement, men with wisdom, especially Awolowo. When you talk about man with human heartly wisdom, he was one of the, this nation was blessed with that man. You know, many of them are trying to follow his policy. You see many of them wearing his type of cap and his type of glasses. But they cannot run his policy. They can only take one or two or three from there. You know, but they cannot. I was, you know, most times I would just sit down and think and say, why did God not allow Awolowo to rule this nation? It's because it's not in God's program for him to rule. God is the one that installs kings and that removes them. What about Abiola? It's because it's not in God's program for him to be the president of this country. If he's ordained to be, nobody can. Look at Buhari, the man that was almost dying before he got to do something. And look at all that they sold to the people about him. Propaganda. And told the people that he's an honest man, is this, he has never done this, we have never had it worse in this country under any administration than we have had under him. He's the worst president that we have ever had. That's the truth. At least with my little age, I have been under the military rule for some time. We have seen administrations. We have watched them. And we have tried to compare what obtained there and compare with what is there. It's so horrible. It's so horrible. But our duty is to pray unto God to change situations for us. Bless our own private economy. If the nation cannot be helped, let our own economy be helped. Let the blessings of God rest upon us. He promised to bless the works of our hands. I remember some times ago I was to preach somewhere. I haven't come to the message by that time. So, you know, people love prayer. Then I raised the request before I entered. It was a very peppery sermon. And that was the last sermon I preached in the denomination. Brother Nat, yeah, you are aware of that. Very preppy sermon. And that was the last sermon I preached there. I told them, I said, well, I pray, I said, let's pray concerning this country. You pray for yourself that God will bless your own personal economy, your family's economy. If the nation is not doing well, pray that God will bless your own economy, that your own economy will do well. It's still the same today. It's the same. The prayer is still the same. But it's getting worse in the nation. Look at the amount of debt Nigeria is on. Obasanjo was going, he left no debt. He settled everything. Liars with the powerful nations, they wrote off our debt. And Obasanjo was having credit. We are having credit balance, not debit. But from here you are up to today. But this man's loan was another thing entirely. You cannot even see what the loans collected were used for. And yet, the loans. May the Lord be our help. Let's rest our hope in God. After all, our hope is in Him. Praise be to God. Yes, the prophet here, okay, we're talking about, he swore by himself. From where we read, it was because God, let me come there again and then emphasize some things. Hebrews chapter 6. Because we want to look at the personality of God. The one that swore by himself. From verse 15. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirming by an oath. Why would God have to swear? Why would he have to swear? Now, God has been dealing with Father Abraham. Abraham had he has seen God before this time. The child that God told Abraham to go and sacrifice was by the promise of God. Abraham had believed him all along. The first time in Genesis chapter 12, when God called him and told him, I'm going to show you, take you to a land that I will show you. So he walked with God by faith. And then thereafter, God told him, I'm going to give you a child through Sarah. And through that child, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. The Bible says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, it was Abraham that God was dealing with here. God will tell Abraham, he will believe. God will tell Abraham, he will believe. He will believe. Until finally the promised child came. And that's in Genesis chapter 22. That God told him, take this Isaac, whom your only son. And yet, Ishmael was there. God knew what he was talking about. Take him and go and sacrifice him on the mountain I will show you. We never saw in the Bible where Abraham expressed doubt about that. He carried the child, went with his servants. He took his knife. He went with the child. He didn't go with Ezra animal. He was not having a thought as a human to return with that child. But by faith, because if you go back to that Genesis and read it, but you will see that by faith is what he said and his action showed that something was moving upon him. Because when he got to the top of the mountain, he was looking at the mountain afar off, he has his servants to tarry here. Genesis 22. Can you project that? Because that's the background to what we are talking about here. Genesis 22. Alright, from verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Okay? And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. Oh, sorry. I've jumped that place. That's supposed to be in verse 4. In verse 4. So, well, let's take it from verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass after God has given him that instruction. And saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto the young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and what? And come again to you. I and the lad. I and the lad. He was saying that by faith, not by natural instinct. He was doing that by faith. Because if you go back to Hebrews chapter 11, you will see by faith he sacrificed the boy. Because he believed that somehow God will bring that child back from death unto life. Why will he believe that? Because every promise that God has given to Abraham concerning the future were all wrapped in that boy. Were wrapped in that boy. All the promises that God has given to Abraham for the future. That God said that in that Isaac shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And Abraham knew that all along God has been coming with God. He has never failed in any promise that he gave. He told me, he will take me to a land. He told me, he will give me a child. He told me, he will do this, he will do this. Every time God will meet Abraham, God will meet Abraham, renew his soul, renew his strength, renew this. On the final day, the child came. And Abraham knew what happened to him and his wife before the baby was conceived. He knew that they were changed from old men to young men. He knew that God has been faithful to his promises. So he knew that at this point in time, when God now asks me to take Jesus and go and sacrifice him, then something must happen. This boy must come back to life because he must, the promises that God, Jehovah has made must come to pass in the life of this boy. But Abraham could not explain it. When we have such revelation to walk with God, when we have such revelation and you have challenge before you and there are promises of God in the Bible, you look to the end of the problem. That will give you rest of mind. Abraham, he knew that something definitely must happen to that boy. And he spoke by faith there, telling his servants, I and the Lord will go yonder and worship and come back again to you. He wasn't meaning himself, because you will see the beginning of that statement. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the house, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. They will go and worship. Because Abraham did not tell the servants what he was going to do there. To what we go, it is by revelation. To please God is by revelation. Praise be to God. So why will God, back to Hebrews chapter 6, why will God then swear to Abraham? Now, all that we talked about, the dealing of God with Abraham has been unto Abraham alone. Now, this oath will work for Abraham and for Abraham's seed. Amen. Alright, let's come here. For men verily swear, verse 16, by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Abraham wasn't disagreeing with God. Abraham was not saying, oh, what you promised, I don't think it's going to come to pass. Was Abraham saying that? Then why would God swear by himself? Why would he swear? Abraham wasn't doubting God. In fact, it was what made God to say this was because of obedience of Abraham unto the instructions of Jehovah. Because what told Abraham, God said, you can do this, that now I know that you truly love me. And because of what you have done in blessing, I will bless you. I will multiply thy seed as the sand of the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gates of our enemy. God said, I swear by myself. Alright. Hope serves as a settlement to strike between two people. You will do this, you will do this. The prophet told us how they used to make covenant in those days. You know, some people, it will be two sheets of paper. You tear it, it will have the same edge. Or it will have two edges, but the edges we have to dotate to be sure that it's the same paper that was torn into. Some people will kill an animal and we stand on it and say, let any of us be like this animal that is killed if any of us betrays our agreement or whatever. Several places, several things that people use in covenant is sometimes it's a change of blood. This one will pierce himself. The other guy will lick it. The other one will pierce blood. The other guy will lick it. They have entered into covenant. All those things are secret courts. But dear God Almighty, the prophet said, as we read the Bible further, he said, wherein, this is why God has to swear. He said, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel. You know, what is immutability? Unchangeability. Unchangeability of his counsel. That my as I have said, it cannot change. No circumstance. That's why the prophet called it unconditional covenant. Unconditional covenant. Not before you do this, if you do this, I will do it. The prophet said, that was the covenant God gave to Adam in the beginning. He failed. The prophet said, man always fails his own part. But the covenant he gave to Abraham is that I have already done it. It's not something that you have to do anything into it to make God to fulfill his promise. Well, I hope you understand what I'm saying. Don't misunderstand it. I believe this should be a church that is well-grounded. Though not everybody, but a group, a good number of us. At least we should be teachers by this time. Because we are so blessed. You know, this assembly is so blessed. Look at these servants of God. We are last in an assembly. It's only one minister. And they have only Sunday school and morning service. And then their Wednesday. And sometimes when you attend their Wednesday, you are not satisfied. Well, if you've been feeding light, and you not get somewhere and it's sparingly. You have to eat sparingly. You won't be satisfied. You know? So this assembly is blessed, and to whom much is given, much is expected. That is why every one of us must be good examples out there. Even in the midst of other message believers, this assembly must stand out. When we say this assembly, we mean individuals of us representing the assembly. Because the quality of the word of God that comes out from this platform, if you are going to be sincere, if you are not missionaries, but many of you travel from somewhere to this place, and you have traveled from here to somewhere you have participated, you know what we are talking about. When you are talking about awesome word, awesome counsel of God comes out from this place. And so to whom much is given, much is expected. Who is expecting much from us? Out there, our God. And that is in form of the life that we live. So, God is willing to make his promise more sure to the heir of salvation. Not only Abraham. The heir of promise. We are heirs of that, of the promises God gave to Abraham. Ajogunileri. That's the meaning of heirs of promise. Ajogun awon ileri ti Olorun se fun Abraham. We are the ones. God wants to prove to us that his counsel does not change. He confirmed it by her note. So that we will know that apart from the prophet went further to tell us there, we are coming to it. Now verse 18. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entered into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That verse 18 is saying that by two immutable things, the prophet said, one is that God cannot lie. By virtue of who God is light and in him is no darkness at all. He cannot lie. And it is also impossible for Almighty God to lie. It's not possible for God to lie. It's an impossibility. And the other one is that being God, his person cannot lie. Who he is is the absolute righteousness, his purity, his light. The Bible says in him is light and there is no darkness at all. No variableness, neither any shadow of turning in God. Now, God has to take himself, because there was nobody greater than him that he will have to swear with. Alright. Let's move forward. How firm a foundation have we got? Paragraph 84. How firm a foundation have we got that when the prince of all princes, when the God of all gods, when the king of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the beginning of all beginning, himself took an oath by himself. For where there is no greater, that he will confirm this covenant with Abraham and his seed. God was telling Abraham that, look, this promise that I have given unto you, that in Isaac shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, that you possess, your seed will possess the gate of their enemies, will overcome, they will have victory. Every promise that Jehovah has made, God at that point was telling Abraham and his seed that will believe thereafter that it is settled. The prophet said, what a fine foundation have we got? Unshakable foundation. Foundation that is built upon God himself. If a man comes here now, look, I always tell people, I say, if two people made a covenant, situation might come that one might betray the other one. Yeah. Okay, for instance, if one of them becomes a Christian, in fact, that's a good grant, that the secret will be divulged. If two people have agreed to do something, and at the end of the day, one of them becomes a Christian. Or, for instance, maybe, a boy and a girl, they have done, they live immoral in the secret and the rest of it. And they are keeping it quiet. Keeping quiet, they don't want to say anything about it. If God touches the boy, when God touches him, nobody will tell him to come and make his way right and explain himself. And then the secret they've been keeping, what comes? It will be opened. If somebody has made covenant with somebody else, but whether blood covenant or whatever, and that person comes to Christ, that blood covenant is nullified. Because he is now in a greater covenant. That's what can break that covenant. He's coming to God under another covenant. Praise be to God. So we have a sure foundation that Almighty God himself is the foundation of that promise. That you just be certain. No reason to doubt. No reason to disbelief. I made that promise by myself. And I'm going to be sure that is kept. Praise be to God. Now, this may kind of root up and pull up and show out and take out. But let's look it right smack in the face and see what it looks like. If necessary, we can go back and pick up the Abrahamic covenant that God made with him and how that God swore by himself. Anybody ever knows where God ever swore by himself? Let's turn to Genesis chapter 22. That's where we read. You see, I believe in about 16. Let's take a look at Genesis 22, the 16th verse. We see here where God swore by himself. All right, I believe this is it. I am not mistaken, okay? And said, by myself have I sworn, said the Lord, because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee and I will multiply, and in multiplying I will multiply thee, multiply thy seed, and thy seed shall be as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. It's part of the promise that God swore to, that the seed of Abraham will possess the gates of his enemies. And we are the seed of Abraham today. How do we become seed of Abraham? The prophet told us that Abraham, remember, when even in Galatians chapter 3, the Bible does not use the word plural for seed. Galatians chapter 3, the Bible didn't use the word plural for seed. If you take note of it, he didn't. Let's have it from verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, curse is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. The prophet said, we become seed of Abraham by being born again, by being filled with the Holy Spirit. That when we become the seed of Abraham. That's how we become Abraham's seed. And the seed, that seed of Abraham, will possess the gates of the enemy. Those are the ones that have the victory. Those are the ones that will never lose. That will always defeat, because here he says that they shall possess the gates of the enemy. When we talk about the seed of Abraham, okay, let's read further. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Okay, brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or added thereto. You see, even a man's covenant, a man's, what do you call it now? Will. Bring it back. A man's will is his covenant. That covenant is not in effect, or that will is not in effect, when the man is dead. You don't share the property, just like we had last Sunday, the prodigal. You know, that was, it was a, the Lord was using that one to show, you know, how, you know, it's an evangelical sermon. That the Lord himself used to show how his children who go away from him return to him. That's restoration. You know, the prophet told us that, you know, to restore this thing, you take it back to where it came from. It's not a replacement. Resurrection, rather. Resurrection is not replacement. But restoration, you take that thing back to where it was taken. That boy was restored back to his father, not to another father. He was a lost child from his father. So, his own case, where he forced his parents to sell their property, you know, and give him his own half. You know, it was a preaching that the Lord was using to give us a certain attention. But in true will, a man writes his will, that will is not in effect. If at the end of the day a child is stubborn and he claims that he wants his own, once he takes his own, the will does not reflect in him. The will be written concerning those who are available there. Those are the ones that the will be affected to, if the man finally dies. But until the man dies, his will cannot be affected. It is after his will that the covenant or the will or testament becomes in effect. That's when the administrator of that will then come and gather together and meet the family and say, now come and see, this is the will of your father, this and this, and I'm the one that is appointed as administrator. He has so much to be given to this, so much to be given to this, so much to be given to this. But until man dies, that cannot be done. So, brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet it be not confirmed, Yet if it be not confirmed, no man disannulled or added thereto. You can't take from it, you can't add to it. Even a man's covenant, a man's will. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. You see, promises. He said, not as to seeds. You see, now to Abraham and his seed. Then you will say that, why will it be seed? It should be plural. The Bible is not making mistake. The prophet told us here that God, Abraham has natural seed and spiritual seed. Are you getting that? Now, the natural seed, you have Ishmael, you have Isaac. But the covenant was not to Ishmael, it was to Isaac. That was the natural. And it is through the natural seed that the royal seed, which is Christ, came. Are you following that? Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not as to seed. He said not unto seeds. That is plural. Not seeds. As of many, but as of one. And to thy seed. Which is what? Christ. How it came that the promise unto this thy seed. Alright, move on to 17. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul. That it should be made, it should make the promise of, made the promise of non-effect. The law that was given 400 years after cannot disannul the promise. You can't say, because the law has come, then the promise that God made to Abraham, it can no longer be in effect. No. That promise still goes on. 18. Let's conclude it there. Okay, no, that's 18. For if the inheritance be of the law, then it is no more promise. So it's not of the law. But God gave it to Abraham by what? By promise. Amen. The natural seed of Abraham, you have Isaac, you have Ishmael. And from Genesis chapter 22, where we read, you will see God didn't recognize Ishmael as Abraham's son. God himself, by that scripture. Your only son, can you please project it to us? Your only son, Genesis 22 verse 1. And it came to pass after this thing that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thy what? Thy only son Isaac. Yet Ishmael was there, older than Isaac. God was not partial. God knew what he was doing. Ishmael was not a covenant child. Was not a promised child. It was a seed of unbelief. Product of unbelief. Do you agree with that? Yeah. It's a product of unbelief. Sarah disbelieved. That was why she asked Abraham to take Agar and say, maybe through this Agar, we can have the promise. God came to tell Abraham and said, look, it is Sarah. My promise is that Sarah will give birth to a child. It's not through Agar. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee unto the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. That one will take a man that has been working with God, that has the vindication that this is not the devil that is speaking to me. Yeah, I'm telling you, it's not just an ordinary man that will wake up one night and something will tell him. No! Like I told you, Abraham had been following, God has been working with Abraham. He has seen God bringing to pass his promises. God does not bring, you know, usually we talk about trial and test. You know, the Bible used the word, God tempted Abraham there. But God has equipped Abraham. God has prepared Abraham.
God knew Abraham would not fail that test. God knew Abraham would not fail it. The scripture that Pastor referred to in the morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There is no temptation overtaking you that's not common to man. God will make a way to escape it. God already built Abraham for that period. All right? The son, look at the expression of Jehovah. Your only son, whom thou love. He has waited for him all his life. He has waited for that boy all his life. And for the sake of that boy, he took advice to send Ishmael and Hagar away from that place. And he knew that that was a promised child. For God to come to him to tell him and say, now that child that you love, that your life is wrapped around, take him and go and sacrifice him. God had worked upon Father Abraham. No wonder the Bible says he was a friend of God. And that is the that kind of faith that Father Abraham had is what we also are supposed to have. We talk about the seed of Abraham being one, and that's Christ. And it is through the baptism of the Holy Spirit that we too become the seed of Abraham to be qualified to get the blessings that God promised Abraham. The seed of Abraham. Remember, we also have the faith of Abraham. The seed of Abraham, we have the faith of Abraham. You say, how will the seed of Abraham have the faith of Abraham? Remember, it is by the Holy Spirit that will come the seed of Abraham. You are a seed of Abraham, not by thinking that I am a seed of Abraham. Let me dwell a little bit on that. The time is gone. I was not looking at the time. Merciful God. When did you start? Jehovah. All right. Let me just say that. Remember that child. What brings us into that body is faith. That's the faith of Abraham. And that's the body of Christ. And nobody comes in there. It is the Holy Spirit that brings us there. And that's the faith of Abraham that brings us in that place. So, we become the seed of Abraham. We become entitled to the promises of Abraham when we become the seed of Abraham. May the Lord be our head. How do we become the seed of Abraham? Is by being filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what makes you and me the seed of Abraham. The Lord will bless us. By the grace of God, we continue with this when else we have opportunity. Just lay in the background for it. Shall we bow down on our heads? Promise to Abraham and his seed after him. The possession of the gates of the enemy is the portion of the seed of Abraham. Those who were the natural seed of Abraham from Isaac on down, they were vessels to which the royal seed, the Lord Jesus Christ, came. And through Jesus Christ, by his baptism, by his spirit, coming into our lives, we become the seed of Abraham, and then we are also entitled to that. We can possess the gates of the enemy. And the prophet preaches Psalm 1, the title, Possessing the Enemy's Gate After Trial. The importance of being the seed of Abraham, resurrection is promised to the seed of Abraham. Rapture is promised to the seed of Abraham. Victorious living is promised to the seed of Abraham. The seed of Abraham that the representatives of God hear on the face of the earth. When we hear the word of God and we repent of our sins and we go for water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, our sins are remitted.
if we truly repent. And then God sends His Holy Spirit upon us immediately there, depending on the condition of our hearts. But sometimes we go through sanctification before the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is when we truly become the seed of Abraham. Because it's only the seed of Abraham that will go in the resurrection, that will go in the rapture. Those who are sleeping, they will witness resurrection. We that are alive will be changed to go in the rapture. As we hear God's word on a daily basis, Christ should form in us. The word of God should build faith in our heart. The word of God should become plainer to us, to make us to see ourselves, to surrender ourselves, so that we can be partakers of these divine promises of God. All is well to the seed of Abraham. All is well. If you desire a help of prayer, not as a routine, but you truly desire that the Lord will help you, in the light of this sermon, you can indicate by raising your hand while I hand over to the pastor to pray for us.
Blessed Lord, we are grateful unto you again this afternoon, this evening, for your words that we have just heard. We thank you for the obedience of the prophet to the instructions that God gave him to store the message, that we have need of it. We can see the need of it today. We can see what he's doing in our lives. Father, answer up, no doubt. Lord, whatsoever the needs in the lives of those that have raised their hands, Heavenly Father, don't pass any of us by. Give to us according to our heart desires. Give to us according to our requests. Whether it be for physical, material, financial, spiritual, don't pass us by, O God. Because our blessings come only from you and from you alone. Thank you, our Master. That is why you have instructed us in your word we should cast all our cares upon you, because you care it for us. Bless your servant and replenish him for the virtue that have gone out of him. Bless every one of us today that have been in the service, the deacons, the trustees, the musical group, and the role everyone has played, Lord, to make these services a blessing the way they are. Father, our hunger, our task, O God, has not been quenched yet. We desire more of these blessings. We pray, O God, that as the time goes on, may you continue to take us higher and higher into your blessings. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, our Father. The week has begun in earnest, both for students, workers, businessmen and women, travelers, by land, by sea, by air. Whatever you have put in our hands, O God, as a means of, as something we are responsible for, give us the ability to carry it out as your representative. Thank you, our Father. The prophet said, if we are Christians, we are working for the government, we are working for Christ. He said, if we are not Christians and we are working for the government, we are working for the devil. That is why, oh God, we that are government workers, as your children, may we not follow the other people, oh God, to do the things that they do. May we walk in that place, oh God, as your representative. Thank you, Father. Help husbands, help wives, help parents, help children, help all of us, oh God, for without you, we can do nothing. If we turn that statement around with you, we can do all things. Don't pass us by, Father. Lord, thank you for those on the altar. May the grace of God reach down unto them, O God. Meet them at the point of their knees. For there is no doubt a reason they have in mind for coming here. Don't pass them by, Lord. Thank you, our Father. The week has started in its earnest. We be pleasing unto you. We see thee here by Wednesday. We will gather again, O God, for midweek prayer meeting. And and so on and so forth, and the services have been scheduled. Take all the glory, take all the honor for all that you are unto us. May your name be praised, O God. Lord, to the oldest married person and to the youngest one, your prophet has taught us honeymoon should not cease. May the honeymoon not cease in our wombs. Thank you, our Father. Blessed be thy name, Lord. Our children, both good ones, those who come to church, both those we consider bad and are not coming to church, Father, they are all our house. You said we shall be saved and our house. By faith, we are claiming all of them for the kingdom of God. Wherever they might be, may the Holy Ghost follow them, O God. Lord, walk upon them and bring them back home safely. It's our prayers. Because when they were giving birth to, we dedicated them, O God, unto a life of service unto you. And children, we put them in the Sunday school. Children Sunday school, they graduated from there to adolescent, from adolescent to adult. Father, wherever they are, your prophet said, if they want to go away from the things we have told them, but the things that we have told them, we always be constantly reminding them that you are doing something that is wrong. We believe you, Father. Thank you, our Master. Blessed be thy holy name. We are bringing the service to a close. By whichever means, we are going back home. Whether public transport, private vehicle, those of us who will trek home, may your presence guide each step we take. Take us home safely, Lord. Keep us at the center of your perfect will. Where the enemy, whichever way, may want to rear up his ugly head, we absolutely put our trust in you to be there for us to raise the standard against the enemy. Thank you, our Master. Blessed be thy holy name, Lord. In Jesus' most holy name, we pray with all faith and thanksgiving. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you, church. So God willing, by Wednesday, if Christ has not come for us, then we'll be at the post of duty again for the midweek prayer meeting. I wanted to tell you something. The money do is something that most of us have already heard. But I wanted to say it was somehow that I don't know. I know it happens to people. I happen to be one of the people that things like that do happen to. You know, if I'm going to preach, I'm carried away by what I have in heart to preach. You know, and sometimes I forget some announcement I should have made. Well, we'll be praying for my junior brother, the father of Ruth. You know, finally, he pleased the Lord to take him home, you know, last week. And both Ruth and the rest of the children have gathered in the village to hold meeting and make plans as regard when they should bury their daddy. They have taken him to the mortuary, and by tomorrow, every one of them will be going back to where they come from, to look unto God for preparation for the burial of that man. The children called me, Daddy, what do you think? I said, I have no thoughts. I said, because we are all grown up. The women are married with children. The men are married with children. The man that has passed on is not a baby, he's a grandfather. I said, you, whatever decision you take about your father, that's okay. I was being careful, because if I say anything, everybody will stand on it. This is what I say. You know, I want them to do that thing by themselves. Blessed be his holy name. You know, one thing that is my joy is that at least he confessed Christ and I baptized him. Like I said the other time, that is how far a man can go with man. The rest of the journey is between that fellow and God. So I'm believing that he will find the grace of God to be in a better place to the glory and honor of his name. God bless you. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your visit to the house. Thank you for encouragement. Thank you for condolences that you have said. This is motor season where things like this are happening. our services committee to service, obey the message of the hour, consecrating yourself as an individual to pray, family altar, the prophet said the first thing in the morning is family altar, the last thing in the night is family altar. That is the 0 hour that we are all preparing for. Because if we come, whether you like it or not, that old man that he sang, he said, Maje koko fe iti sukwaya. Igba oloko ni fe iti sukwaya. It happens. This is season, it should happen. But when we get to that other side, you know, it is something different altogether. You know, that kind of thing. Many people think I was doing this thing because of gray hair. It's been my style of barbing my hair for a long time. Surely I graduated in it. Blessed be his holy name. As children of God, we don't fear gray hair. We are not afraid of it. Because there is a promise. On the other side, we shall be young forever. Do you believe that? I know you believe because you are a child of God. Anybody that doubts any iota. The prophet says, if you believe the word of God, 99.9, he says that percentage you don't believe makes you an unbeliever. Every man's word is a lie. Every God's word is the truth. God bless you, church. Shall we rise? I want the song leaders to help me. I want us to see this hymn. I'm going to. Can you please remind me if you know the hymn? 91. God bless you. Oh,
2 0 9.